Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Good of you guys, we're glad to see the children dance here this morning. Who knows that Jesus loves the children? Amen. And I believe our Kingdom Kids ministry is a reflection of that, Jesus' love. And that's why it's beautiful for me when we sit in church and we have kids here. Bible says the word of God will not return to him void. And that word is applicable for you, for me, and for our children, and even for the generations that is to come. So you thought I'm going to change the service this morning and have the kids sit in front and speak to them. No, I'm not going to. Amen. Because the same Holy Spirit that will minister to your heart will also minister to their hearts. And I want to just share something this morning. I'm not going to be long. I want to share three principles this morning. My wife's smiling at me. I like that. It's not when I said I'm going to share three principles. When I said I'm not going to be long, she started smiling. So I'm not going to be short either. No, I'm kidding. All right. I just want to share something that's on my heart. Maybe just close your eyes if you don't mind. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And Father, I just pray that as we minister this word, that you will release a spirit of wisdom, that you will release a spirit of revelation, and that it will rest on this word. And I pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help me to manage this moment faithfully and responsibly by your grace, but for your glory. So Jesus, we say, speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen and amen. I want to speak from the topic, don't die in the wilderness. Don't die in the wilderness. Say amen. All right. I want to start with a story. Ruben and Alana, we've got this, who knows what the fun company is? All right, do you know the fun company? Who knows, back in the day when we, at the fun company, you literally went there and then this machine gave you the tickets. And you would see little kids coming with like thousands of tickets and they want to buy something. Say amen? And adults. But it changed. If you go to the fun company now, am I allowed to say fun company in church with the poppy? I don't even know anymore. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, so if you go to the fun company now, you don't get the tickets anymore. They credit those points to a digital card that you buy, so you load money on it, you play, and then it loads points, a point system on this card, which you then use to buy certain things. So when we took Ruben and Alana there about 2 years ago for the first time, they just enjoyed it. They were just there to play. They weren't even aware that they were accumulating points because they didn't see the physical tickets. And recently when we went there to play with them, they became very visible and they started to understand that they can actually win something. Okay? So now the way they play changes. And when I spoke to him yesterday, I said, we're going to do one last time before we go away. Say amen. And we're just going to have fun. And this is what he said to me. I'm not going there to have fun. I'm going there to win. And when I heard that, immediately something stirred my spirit. Often at times when new information and revelation becomes available to us, we change the way we approach certain things. But in this, we forget why we started. And I want to remind you this morning that even if new information and revelation became available to you, never forget why you started. Never forget why you started. Never forget why you planted this church. Never forget why you started a business. Never forget why you decided to get engaged. Because God is still in control. And we get so busy with trying to accumulate points and tickets to buy something that we forget to enjoy it. We become so busy with the Word of God and a revelation of who God is that we forget who God actually is in our lives. We praise God for what He can do and not for who He is. When we pray, it's what we can draw from God. I want you to hear my heart this morning. Instead of praising God and worshiping God for who He is, we come to church and we pray to receive what we don't have. And this morning when I work through this book of Deuteronomy, I want you to see this, that God is the God of ages. That He is faithful. We don't serve God for what He can do for us. We serve God for who He is. It's the truth of God that leads us into His presence. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is Jehovah Nissi. God is. When God speaks, there's provision. Say amen. Now, next time when you go to the fun company, you'll remember this. Amen. Whether you get 12 or 16 or 25 tickets, it doesn't matter. As long as you enjoy it. And I sounded very harsh now, but I want you to know this. We should enjoy coming to church. It's a joy to praise the Lord. It's a joy to go through trials and tribulations. Because when we leave with something, we have something to testify about. It brings substance. It brings maturity. And we need that to ultimately glorify God. So I want to remind you this December holidays to enjoy the time you spend with the Lord, to enjoy your family, to enjoy the festive season when we are reminded of a Savior that was sent. Say amen. All right. So I'm going to give you an introduction quickly. The book of Deuteronomy 2. We spoke on faithfulness. Say amen. Who of you guys enjoyed last week's service? You can look back, Yaku, don't. I'm kidding. They enjoyed it. Amen. God is faithful. I just want to continue and share something that the Holy Spirit ministered to my heart. In Deuteronomy 2, 1 to 25, we're not going to read everything, don't worry. I see you guys opening your eyes like 1 to 25. I want to give you a short introduction of what we're seeing here. The Israelites going out of Egypt is a picture of the believer coming out of the world. Okay? But the Israelites entering the promised land is not only a picture of salvation, say amen. It's also a picture of us as Christians being planted in the center of God's will. It's a picture of us being planted in the center of God's will and enjoying the spiritual blessings that was purchased with a price. Say amen. Are you enjoying the spiritual blessings that were purchased for a price? Because many believers come out of Egypt, but not all believers experience the fullness of the blessing that was purchased. The first generation died. The first generation never experienced the fullness of that blessing that was purchased. And we're going to go into this deeper now, but when I read that, it started stirring my heart, and I said, Lord, but I don't want to be part of that generation. I refuse to be a part of that generation who doesn't see the fullness of the spiritual blessings that was meant for us. Amen? And Moses is standing here before we go into that scripture. You can leave it there. I want you to know what's happening here. Moses is standing before Israel. And he's going to preach now. He prepared a sermon. Do you know that? Okay, guys. Do you know that? Moses is going to preach. And he's now standing before two generations. A first generation that are not very far from dying. And a second generation who grew up as young kids are now more or less adults. Okay, this is the senior. And Moses is standing here preparing a sermon. Okay. It's a new breed of Israelites. It's a new generation, a second generation. They're standing, and this is what Moses says, and this really stirs my heart. Moses starts by this, and he says, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir." And I want you to understand what's happening here. Moses is preaching, but by him preaching, he now retells the story of what they went through. Okay? So he's reminding them of what happened. And he's trying to draw inspiration from what they went through in order to encourage them and motivate them to go into what is ordained for them. I want you to hear my heart this morning. We can't read everything, so I'm going to give you snippets. I'm going to give you summaries. And I want you to hear what the Spirit says. He's drawing from what happened in the past to encourage and inspire them to go into what is new. Are you with me? I'm going to say that one more time, then I'm going to continue so you hear what I'm saying. He is drawing from the past to encourage them and inspire them to go into what is new. The fact that you and I are sitting here this morning means we have a past. It means we have something to draw from that will encourage us to go into what is new. Testimony, stuff we went through. The fact that we are here allows us to draw. And Moses is trying to tell this new generation, listen, you were young, but I'm going to tell you what happened. And you will start to understand why I'm saying this and why I'm encouraging you not only to go into this promised land, but to stay there and to inhabit the land. Okay? So this is where he's preaching from. All right. In chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, Moses deals with the first 2 years of the journey when the parents were still alive. And they were disobedient, the first generation. Who knows, they were disobedient. And then things went haywire. Say haywire. And because they were disobedient, this happened. And this is where this is kicking off. Verse 1. You can go there. Verse 2. "And then the Lord said to me, 'You have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward.'" I want to come this morning and declare over you that you've been traveling around this long enough. The time has come. You're going to have to make a decision this morning, and we're going to look at what that is. But drawing from our past, drawing from our testimonies, we can testify today that God is alive and God is faithful. And we don't have to go around this all the time. The Bible says, turn northward. You've gone around this long enough. And if you feel this morning that there's a certain thing that your family has gone around long enough, I speak life over it this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And I say, turn northward and continue for the journey ahead. So, amen. And then the next verse says this, "And command the people, you are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the people of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful. Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I've given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession." So the Israelites are encountering three groups of people. Well, they actually already encountered three groups of people. They're turning away, and they have to go back and pass these people to get to the place where God has ordained. And Moses is reminding them of what happened. The first group of people they met was the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Amorites. Those were the three groups of people. And here in verse 3, they're going to pass Edom now, the Edomites. And this is what Moses is saying. "Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land." So in other words, he's saying, Don't contend with them. Don't try and take their land. Don't fight with them. Don't be at war with them. Just continue and go where I want you to go. Can you hear me this morning? So when there's a promise spoken over your life and God is saying, I want you to turn northward and go there, do not contend with them. Why are we constantly fighting with everything and everyone on the way to where God wants us to be? Hear my heart this morning. We're constantly fighting battles that's not ours to fight. God is saying, do not contend with them. Don't contend with them. Just go by. This is what the word says further. You shall purchase food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. So God is saying, don't fight. Just buy what you need and leave. Okay. Now we're going to go to verse 9. Get a jump with me. And then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for possession. So we're going through the Edomites. God is saying, don't contend, don't go to war, go past them, buy what you need. And when they pass the Edomites, they're going to meet the Moabites. And then God says the same, Moses says the same thing. Don't contend with them, don't go to war, I will not give you any of their land. Let's go to verse 19. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, which is the Ammonites, do not harass them or contend with them. For I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I've given it to the sons of Lot. And I read this story and it started stirring my heart. The Israelites are going past the Edomites, past the Moabites, past all the, Pastor Bulmore says, the parasites, on their way to this place, and they have to turn around and they're going back. And God is saying, don't contend with them. Don't go to war with them. Just buy what you need and get to that place that I've ordained for you. Just buy what you need and go. And Moses, I want you to remember, Moses is retelling the story. This happened in the book of Numbers. We're now in Deuteronomy. Moses are reminding them of what happened. Okay? And I want you to see how Moses is actually telling the story. So we're going to jump to Numbers quickly. Numbers 20, 18 to 22. Come on, just stay with me. We're always there. And this is what the word says. Remember, Moses says, we're going to pass the Edomites. Don't contend with them. I'm not going to give you the land, because the land was for the possession of Esau. This is in Numbers. But Edom said to him, you shall not pass through, lest I come out with the sword against you. And the people of Israel said to him, we will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, and I my livestock, then I will pay you for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. But he said, you shall not pass through. And Edom came out against him with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. This is what actually happened. This is what Moses is saying. Okay, Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you are going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Goes further, verse 8, and says, so we went on away from our brothers, the people of Esau who lived in Seir, away from the Arabah road, from Elath and Ezion Geber, and we turned and went into the direction of the wilderness of Moab. And when I read this, I said, Moses, this is not what happened. You're tuning this new generation. We went past them. We went out. We changed direction. When they got to Edom, they were instructed not to take the land, not to go at war. But we see the response of Edom being very clear. They come out with armies, swords, forces saying, you will not go through this land, I'm sorry. And I wonder, why was this? Why did God ordain a certain... That was a lekker Afrikaanse rit, jy hom gehoor. Sorry. Why did God ordain a certain thing for Israel? He gives them a clear instruction to say, go back past the Edomites, people you know, past the Moabites and the Ammonites, past them, don't take their land. And the first nation or culture they encounter, the people want to go to war. Does this sound familiar to you? Does God sometimes give you instruction and say, I want you to go there, and then once you just put your foot out of the door, you're at war? Have you felt like that in your life? And I realized in my spirit that something happened. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. And the Israelites were descendants of Jacob, who became Israel. And the Edomites were not afraid of the Israelites. The Edomites had bitterness in their heart because of what Jacob did to Esau years ago. And because of that bitterness, they wanted to go to war. And when Moses retells the story, he doesn't remind the Israelites of the bitterness the Edomites had because of what Jacob did to Esau. He just reminds them of what God said. And in reminding them of what God said, he reminds them this, that I want you to know that God is faithful. Because if God did this for the Edomites, if he displaced them and take them to a certain place and gave them authority over that ground, if he did it for the Edomites and for the Moabites and for the Amorites, how much more will he do it for you, who is his beloved? God is saying, I did it for them, I will do it for you. And Moses is very strategic in the way he tells the story. He's not lying. He's just not cultivating a bitterness in the hearts of a new generation because he understands that they need to take certain ground, and in order for them to be successful in that, they cannot go to war with the past. In fact, he says, let's look at the past and take what was good and bring that into the future. And I want to ask you this morning, what is it in your past that you are still bitter about? What is it that you are looking back to and you're being like the Edomites? You're being like Esau. You're offended with Jacob, offended with Israel for something that happened before your time. You're offended with God because it didn't work. And God is saying, turn northwards, turn away from this. I want you to go to the promised land. Do not go to war with them. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Don't engage in a battle that is not yours. And when I read that, it stirred my heart, because this is what I believe for 2025. That God will only allow us to take over that which brings about a testimony for what is to come. Amen? We are not going to look back and be bitter about what didn't happen. We're not going to look back and defile our hearts and become angry for certain things which didn't happen. We will not go to war with Edom in 2025. We will not go to war with the Moabites in 2025. We will not go to war with the Amorites in 2025. We will not take what is not ours. We will stay focused and go towards the promised land. But in order for us to do that, we have to understand that we cannot hold on to the past. We can only take from the past, which brings about a testimony by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, so that we can go into what God has promised. And I want to prophesy this over you this morning, that whatever must remain in the past will not carry over into 2025 in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. That we will stay focused on the plan ahead. Say amen. All right. There we go to verse 24. Let me just say this, guys. We really don't have time to run into all of this, but in verse 7, just go to verse 7 quickly if you can. Thank you so much. It says, For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. And I want to remind you this morning that God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. When the Edomites didn't want to sell you bread, God gave you manna. When they didn't want to sell you water, God provided a rock. God will continue to be faithful in this season and forevermore in Jesus' mighty name. Do not be focused on the Edomites not wanting selling you bread. Don't be focused on those who don't want to provide you water. Be focused on the rock of ages, the one who brings living water and the one who brings fresh manna every day for you and I. Because God has been with us. He blessed the work of our hands. And I want you to know what you went through in 2024. It might have been a wilderness. It might have been a great wilderness. But the Lord says this, I was with you. I was with you. I provided for you. Your fathers rebelled against me. They were disobedient and I disciplined them, but I never forsake them. I was always with them. And even though you and I are rebellious and disobedient in certain times of our lives, yes, we might forfeit a certain blessing connected to that because God is our Father and God disciplines us. But when God disciplines us, it's for us to get to a place of maturity. He never, never forsakes us. Amen. All right. We're going to run. Verse 24, it says, rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession, and look at this now. It says, begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. And I ask you a question this morning. God says, begin to take possession. Whenever we take something that does not belong to us, we're busy fighting a battle that is not ours. And it keeps us preoccupied and away from the promised land. But when you enter the promised land and you have dominion over it, God says, I want you to battle. It's a fight. Okay? But then we have Christians saying stuff like, God opened the door and then he closed the door and then God opened the window and when the window shut, God wanted to open another door but he didn't open the door yet. God is not schizophrenic. Amen? When God opens the door and we go through that door, we can immediately ascertain when there's a move of something that is not from God, and then we bath ourselves with the scripture and we stand on the authority of the word of God and we go through it because God says, and contend with him in battle. And I want to tell you in 2025, when we take this promised land, you're going to have to contend with him in battle. You're going to have to be ready to step in and say, I'm going to contend with him in battle. But you cannot get to that battle as long as you are fighting battles against the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Amorites. It's when we get to this place. When we move into what God has for us. Increase to overflow. Are you ready? I want to say this again. Gladiators, are you ready? Contestants, are you ready? No, I'm kidding. Come on, guys. Are you ready to step into what God has for you for 2025? Are you equipped to take possession of what God has for you? And are you ready to go to battle? Because God is faithful. And that's the only thing Moses wanted the next generation to know. Is this. God will never forsake you. If God can do it for them, he can do it for you. And I want to tell you this morning, if God could do it for the generals and the men of God before us, he can also do it for us. Amen. I want to show you something quickly, something that I saw illustration that really blessed me. Can I steal this? This is not part of the illustration. Amen. I want to show you something. Ruben, are you going to help me? Bring me that cup. Bring me that cup, yes, please. Thanks. I want to illustrate something that I saw that really blessed my heart. Look at this. When I pour water into this cup, the act of pouring water made me a father. Let me explain to you why. Because what is in this bottle is now in that cup. And the Hebrew word for this would be Abba. Source. Resource. Source. Resource. Source. Resource. The act of pouring automatically made me a father, because what is in this cup is what is in this bottle. And I want to share a revelation with you. I want to share this revelation with you. Whatever is in the bottle is in the cup. The Jehovah Witnesses theologically have an issue with us as Christians, because they say Jesus cannot be God because Jesus calls God Father. So he needs to be below God. When you look at the Hebrew explanation of Abba, source, then this is what Jesus is saying when they asked him, can you please show us the Father? And then he said, he who receives, let me make this practical, he who has received the cup has received the bottle. Source, resource. Source, resource. The resource cannot exist without the source. You and I are resources, and Abba is our source. In the same way he provided manna, in the same way he provided water from a rock, he provides for us today. And I want you to hear this in my heart, in your heart, hear my heart this morning. No one can change that. God is the source. We are the resource. God is the source. We are the resource. God is the source. We are the resource. I'm going to say that again. God is the source. We are the resource. When God is the source, we cannot exist as a resource without the source. Our whole life, our whole being needs to be connected to the source. It needs to be connected to the source. I started the sermon by saying often at times when we get new information or revelation, we change the way we go about certain things and we forget why we started. I want to remind you in this year that if God is the source, we have to be connected to the source. We cannot be connected to only a revelation of the source. We cannot be connected to something that is not connected to the source. If the church is going to rise up in 2025 with a demonstration of power by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have to be resources available and connected to the source. Amen. I'm going to close with this morning. When we hear the word of God, it initiates faith. When we speak the word of God, it activates faith. But when we apply the word of God, it demonstrates faith. Everything God is and all that God does through Jesus is grace. That is how we recognize grace, Bishop. Grace itself is a gift. The word literally means gift. Everything that God is and all that God does through Jesus is grace. I want to explain to you, I'm going somewhere, Old Testament, New Testament. Every gift that God gives us through Jesus is recognized as grace. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. We don't work for it, we don't earn it. But the Bible says we still have to receive it by... Thank you, Konrad. We don't work for it, we don't earn it, but we have to receive it by faith. Everything God gives by grace, everything that He gives by grace must be laid a hold of and received by faith. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and many believers don't walk in the everyday power of the Holy Spirit because they haven't received the infilling, because you have to receive it by faith. It's available, we have to receive it by faith. This is what the Bible says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God. God's plan for our life to prosper must be received by faith. Moving into the promised land and taking what is ours must be received by faith. And I'm going to close with this statement. But faith can only begin where the will of God is known. Faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If we are not connected to the source, we cannot move in faith. If we don't move in faith, we cannot receive. So this is my word for you for 2025. If you want to move from increase to overflow, stay connected to the source, receive it by faith, and only draw from the past what you need to push you into the future. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. We're formed to function. Let's be church.